Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner, too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Welcome back, Los Angeles, to the LA Football Show. This is your Chargers edition of the LA Football Show. What's up, Bolt fam? Excited to talk with you, hang out with you. We had some great times down at Radio Row. Jamal, unfortunately, was not with us, was unable to make the trip. There'll be many more, so he will be there. But I'm overjoyed to be joined again by Jamal to get into some fun banter about our Chargers. A lot to get into with some comments said about boy wonder Justin Herbert that we will get into, who we both love, but can also be, you know, critical of and have some conversation about. It's not a bad thing. It's okay. This is an open forum. We'd love to hear from you, Chargers fan, your thoughts. Comment wherever you're watching. You can text us, text Bolts to the number 31032, or just go to lafbnetwork.com, drop us a comment there. For Ryan Dyard, I'm with Jamal Maddie. My man, how we doing?
Doing well, Rye. It's been fun having some segments with you already today. I was kicking myself for not being able to be at Radio Row. Life intervened, and I'm hoping that there will be many more to come in the years to come. I'm sure there will be, but always excited to be back with you. Feels like home.
There will be plenty more. So we miss you, but I hope the week was good. And like I said, very glad to be back with you so we can do our normal programmed show and get into the Chargers. Show is always brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. Head to betonline.ag today. Use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. Gives you a 50% welcome bonus. That's 50 free money on your deposits. You might as well use that BLEAV. And telling the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. All right, Jamal. So there was, first of all, Chargers fans, if you haven't seen it, we met Sean Merriman out in Phoenix, had a great interview with him. Check that out up on all channels. We hung out with Ryan Leaf. I know he's kind of a tenuous Charger, if you will, but he's come around. He still loves the Chargers, talks about the Chargers a lot of time, has a lot of respect for the Chargers. I think a lot of Chargers fans have come around to really welcoming back Ryan Leaf. Obviously, he's changed his life completely off the field, and he's doing great. We've seen him now twice now on Radio Row. I've seen him three times, actually. So super cool dude. Really fun interview with him. So make sure to check both of those out. But while down in Phoenix, Jamal, this was like the big story with the Chargers. And like with anything on social media, everything gets overblown and taken out of context and whatever. So I'll try not to take it out of context, but obviously we'll talk about it. Austin Eckler was on, what's it called? Undisputed, I think, with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp was on the show. And Skip was kind of, and I'll let you jump in if you have anything to add, but kind of like building up this persona that, you know, Justin Herbert just doesn't quite have it yet. we know Skip loves Burrow. We know he loves, you know, all these greats. And he's talking about how great or how Herbert doesn't quite have it yet. Kind of like, and I never will say I am trying to be like Skip Bayless or agree with Skip Bayless because I don't. I think he's a hot take machine. But he was kind of saying what we said in a sense in that Jacksonville game, that for how great Justin Herbert is, for how bad the offensive play calling was, at some point, the great quarterbacks don't let your team lose from 27 down. Like, the great quarterbacks take over that game, or at least take over one or two possessions and score more than 3 points in the second half. Love Justin. I feel like we have to say it all the time just because otherwise we get, you know, burned alive. But we kind of had said that. So Skip was kind of saying that same kind of thing a little bit. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but kind of setting Austin Eckler up in a way. And Eckler was obviously very praising of his quarterback, praising of his coach, praising of his team. But then when asked kind of the question was, you know, is that good for experience to help Justin Herbert get better in the future? And Eckler essentially, again, I'm paraphrasing, said like, yeah, those are experiences that now he will learn from and get better. Is how I kind of heard it. Maybe I'm wrong. Everyone heard that and took it as, wow, Eckler's saying Herbert's not, doesn't have it yet. He's not good enough. He's putting the blame on Herbert when Eckler could have rushed for more yards. Like, why does he put the blame on himself? So that was the big story. And Twitter unloaded on Eckler, who's been a fan favorite. All of a sudden, he's the enemy because you can't say anything about Herbert or else you are done for. So before we even get into it, is that kind of the context you took it and what Eckler was saying was more of just a, yeah we're all going to get better from it?
Absolutely. I looked at it as a very honest assessment. I don't think it was inflammatory in any way. I don't think he was blaming Herbert in any way. It was looking at things sort of collectively as a team. And the questions were very much targeted towards Justin Herbert. I do think Skip Bayless was setting him up a little bit. And he just said, look, this is a collective journey. And what's wrong with saying that this is a journey to greatness? I'm sorry. The last time I checked, Justin Herbert has not won a playoff game. Justin Herbert has yet to be league MVP. Justin Herbert has yet to really have any significant hardware in his career. So what's wrong with saying he is on a journey to greatness? We know he has the capability to be great. We know that he's probably going to be great, that the trajectory is there. But as it stands right now, when the old saying goes, you are what your record is, you are what your resume is right now. And right now, his resume is still a work in progress. So I don't think there was anything wrong with what Austin Eckler said.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, I first of all, the main, I think, when people splice things on Twitter, they take just one reaction and not the forthright conversation and what was talked about before. And it was led into that. And they basically just spliced him saying like, yeah, he'll learn from this and get better. And it made it seem like he was putting the blame on him, which he was not. So yeah, it's crazy how a guy that is so beloved with an instant without saying anything bad was all of a sudden turned on as, you know, blaming the face of the franchise and Herbert, which Herbert is, but it's, you know, it is what it is. So that being said, and I agree, and we don't need to spend too much time on it. I thought it was, you know, ridiculous how the conversation swayed and how much people freaked out. I think people have kind of taken a breath now, a week removed, and understood maybe it wasn't what he was trying to go for or whatnot. But that being said, and you posed a question before we started recording that we can kind of get into, so I'll let you pose it, but I'll just start with this. It feels like, as great as Herbert has been thus far, and I still don't think he has reached his full potential, but it feels like with Chargers quarterbacks, when you look at Fouts, you look at Rivers, and you look at now Herbert, as good as they all were, they just happened to be in an era where there was that one or two guys that were the greatest of their era. And that's not taking anything away from them. Dan Fouts was great. In the Eric Coryell finally in the Hall of Fame. Hats off to him getting the Hall of Fame over the weekend. Philip Rivers, great career. Beloved by the city of San Diego in the few years he was here in LA. Obviously put up tremendous numbers, great leader. Justin Herbert, 3 years in. I think the best arm overall, just arm talent in football. He's super leader, the charisma, you know, more quiet, but just a good dude overall. All those guys, I mean, you saw, you know, Dan Fouts played in like I know he was a little before starting, but in the peak, he was in the Elway Marino years. He was in Joe Montana years, and then he got into the Elway Marino years. Look at Phillip Rivers. When he came in the league, Brady and Manning already owned it. And then guess what? He was in the same draft class as Roethlisberger and Manning, who I think overall their resumes were a little better than Rivers. Now Herbert comes in. You already have Mahomes. And then now you get also Joe Burrow, who already has done more in the playoffs than you. So it just feels like these Chargers quarterbacks, as good as they are, unfortunately, are just like in the wrong eras to be the best.
Yeah, Ryan. I mean, I think you said it really well. And for me, if my biggest concern if I were sort of in this hypothetical world, obviously you and I are very objective, but if I'm getting inside the psyche of the Bolt fan, if I'm getting inside the psyche of being a Chargers fanatic, my concern is not what something like Austin Eckler said about Justin Herbert not being great already or not being ready and about his degree of greatness today. My concern would be, what's the ceiling? What are we really what is the ceiling of Justin Herbert's greatness relative to who else is out there? Because my biggest fear is that Justin Herbert is Patrick Ewing. My biggest fear is that Justin Herbert is Karl Malone. Great, great players, potentially all-time great players, certainly one of the faces of their era, but they ran into Jordan every year in the playoffs, and we all knew how that ended. And there's a sense right now that Patrick Mahomes is the Michael Jordan of this sport, and Patrick Mahomes is not going anywhere anytime soon. Patrick Mahomes lost his best receiver, the guy who I believed, outside of a quarterback and outside of Aaron Donald, was the most valuable player for his system in the entire league in Tyreek Hill, in terms of what he could do for that Kansas City offense in terms of spacing. He lost that guy and still won the Super Bowl and still broke every passing record in terms of total yards and still had over 40 touchdowns and was MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl champion, something that hadn't happened since Kurt Warner, something that hadn't happened in the 21st century in the NFL. So when you're posed against that guy, and not only is that guy in the same era as you, playing the same sport as you, that guy's in your same conference, that guy's in your same division. So to me, this isn't about how great Justin Herbert is right now. My question is, how great can Justin Herbert be? And is it going to be good enough? Are the Chargers staring at an 8 to 10 year window here of just heartbreak, where this is sort of a Shakespearean tragedy over the next 8 to 10 years, where they're going to be really good some years and Herbert's going to be really good some years, but guess what? They're going to run into that guy named Mahomes, who, oh, by the way, has hosted the last 5 AFC championship games. And that's a very eerie and unsettling feeling that the only way that you can win is if somebody else is not on their A game, or somebody else is injured, or there's some circumstance that's outside of the norm. So are the Chargers just the victim, again, as you said, Ryan, of a third consecutive great quarterback who just happens to be in the wrong era? Is Justin Herbert not, is he an all-star, a pro bowler, an all-pro type of quarterback, a guy who's going to potentially lead the league in passing yards one year, lead the league in touchdowns another year? We're not saying any of that. He's probably going to do all of those things and check off all of those boxes on his resume. He's probably going to win MVP, because it's a narrative award. You can't give the MVP to the same guy every year. But the question is, when it matters the most, is he going to be able to outduel this other guy who, quite frankly, if you're just being completely honest with yourself, is just better than everybody else? And I don't know what Justin Herbert has to do to become better than Patrick Mahomes. Is he going to be great? Yes. But Patrick Ewing was great. Karl Malone was a second all-time leading scorer by the time he retired. But both those guys were ringless. And so are we headed for an Ewing Malone type of era here with the LA Chargers?
Oh man, you're depressing the Bolt fam, but it's a very astute observation and conversation. And you know, it's I've fallen victim to this, or not victim, but I've done this a lot, Jamal, throughout my whatever I call it, sports career, just my life being a sports fan. And I'm trying my best now not to do this, and hopefully I can show other people listening kind of to think differently as well. A lot of times I've looked at players and I've looked at their circumstance and I'm like, well, yeah, who wouldn't be great in that situation? Like, look at Brady all his years. Like, he had Belichick as his head coach. He had a top five offensive line, top 10 defense every single year. He had continuity. Like, who wouldn't be great in that situation? And so I've done that a lot. And I think a lot of not just Chargers fans, but fans in general are doing that right now with the Chiefs. I've done it. I did it 2 years ago. I don't do it anymore, but it's like, well, yeah, who wouldn't be good with Andy Reid? Who wouldn't be good with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? And oh yeah, they went and got this great offensive line. Who wouldn't be good with that? And you know, it's, I get the argument. I get the sentiment, but no one says Michael Jordan was the greatest of all time because Phil Jackson was his coach and he had Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. Everyone says Michael Jordan was the greatest of all time because he was the greatest of all time. Or you could argue 1A, 1B, whatever, if you want to have an argument with him and LeBron. But no one's bringing up their surrounding as why they were the great. They took those surroundings and elevated to make them the best. When you look at guys like, I talk about John Elway a lot because I think he are, in my opinion, is a top three quarterback all time. He elevated bad teams to get to the Super Bowl. And once he was given a good coach and a good team around him, he won two in a row on the decline of his career. You look at Mahomes and yes, he has been given the keys of the car. Like, you can't ask for a better situation than what Mahomes is. Good organization, good ownership, great head coach. But before Mahomes, Andy Reid hadn't won anything. He was fired from Philly. He, for those who don't remember, his first year in Kansas City without Mahomes blew a 28-point lead in the playoffs to Andrew Luck and the Colts. He blew a bigger lead than Brandon Staley and the Chargers. Everyone forgets that, but that was the great Andy Reid that can do no wrong. Quarterback has a big, big say in how their careers and how their teams are defined. And yes, situation matters. Yes, the players around you absolutely matters. Yes, organizational structure absolutely matters. But then you, when you get that, it's then that greatness that then elevates it to all-time greatness. And it's not just very, very good. Phillip Rivers, very, very good. He had a lot stacked up against him. Some tough organizational structure issues, a lot of coaching changes, some not great offensive lines, but he wasn't able to elevate past that. I'm not blaming him for it, but that's just, it just wasn't what he was able to muster up and do. Do I think Justin Herbert can do that? And that's where we can turn this conversation. I think he can. He hasn't done that yet in 3 years, and that's nothing against him. It's 3 years in. It's a lot of time to do it. And this, Jamal, and this is what we can briefly talk about a little bit before wrapping up. This is why this offseason is maybe one of the most important offseasons for the Chargers in, well, maybe ever. I mean, they haven't won a Super Bowl, so we could argue it's the most important offseason they've ever had because they're going into year four for Herbert. So either he's going to get a contract this year or next year. So obviously they're going to be up against the payroll with him very, very soon. They're probably, this is in or out for Brandon Staley as a head coach. This is his make or break year. And they just went and got the offensive coordinator that by all accounts, in terms of X's and O's, in terms of pedigree, in terms of experience, there's no excuses anymore in terms of offensive play calling. Like if the offense doesn't go this year, then there's other issues besides play calling, which we all agree play calling was an issue last year. So we're not saying it wasn't, but now the excuses are gone. But this offseason, now, if they go get a running back, if they get a Zach Charbonnet or a true bruising back that can 1-2 punch with Austin Eckler, if they get a speed receiver, if they can get one more offensive lineman that can add either depth or true star potential at the guard position, and the defense can play how they played the last 8 weeks of the season, it's on Herbert then. Then it's Herbert's time to say, I'm going to overtake my predecessors in Phillip Rivers and Dan Fouts, or I'm going to fall subject to another very, very, very good statistical quarterback that everyone's going to make excuses for. But unfortunately, I just couldn't quite get over the top because I was really, really good. But the guys that played in my same era were just a little bit better. And that's kind of where we are right now, Jamal.
It's a great point, Ryan. And I think we've sort of brought this up. First of all, I agree with everything that you said. If the Chargers go and draft a Zach Charbonnet, a Bijan Robinson, if they go look at what's a really credible number three wide receiver, find one more piece on the offensive line. Look, they have everything that they need. And we brought up a very interesting word over the course of this season when we were talking about the Chargers, Ryan, and that word was fear. We talked a lot about the last drive of games. And did you fear as an opponent that Justin Herbert was going to win the game. And you and I were in agreement that we didn't quite fear when Herbert had the ball to the same extent that a Mahomes had the ball, to the same extent that when Burrow has the ball. And I go back to this Super Bowl. For anyone who thinks that Patrick Mahomes has just inherited a great situation and is a product of his system, do you want to know when the Kansas City Chiefs won this Super Bowl? It had nothing to do with that holding call. They won the Super Bowl on the first drive of the third quarter. Because when you looked at the dynamic of that game with the Eagles up 10 and Mahomes getting hit right before the half and limping off, when the Eagles saw they were up 10 and they saw Mahomes limping off, they looked at each other and collectively had a sigh of relief. And they were like, we got him. We're going to do this. We're going to win. And when he came back in that third quarter, first drive, and marched it down for a touchdown, you could see that Eagles sideline had already lost the game. And they were never the same after that offensively. Jalen Hurts had one throw to Devontae Smith. That was their entire offense the second half. They kicked a couple of field goals, and then they got kind of the touchdown there at the end. They had 24 points at the half, and outside of that Devontae Adams throw, they had one field goal the whole second half. They lost that game in the first drive of the third quarter when they realized that Jordan wasn't dead, that Mahomes was still very much Mahomes, and that fear is what ultimately ended their hopes for a Super Bowl. And so now this is the most important offseason for the Chargers. They have a few more puzzle pieces to put together, finish that game of Tetris, and then it's on Herbert. And now armed with this great roster on defense, armed with all these weapons on offense, armed with one of the five best offensive minds in the NFL in Kellen Moore, now if you can't get the opposition to fear you in critical moments, I don't know what to say other than he's going to be good, but he's not going to be good enough.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to fight for. I already can't wait for the season, Jamal. The season just ended. It's going to be a long off season, but I cannot wait because I'm excited to see him rise to the challenge. I hope he does. We love Herbert. He definitely has the ability to, so now let's see it happen. And I mean, we talked about it before. The Kellen Moore hire was an absolute slam dunk, and now this is the time to see it unleashed, and hopefully they can make these moves in the draft and in free agency. We've got a lot of time to get into it, so I'm excited to break that all down. But obviously, I'm sure there's thoughts out there. A lot of people don't like hearing any chatter about Herbert or anything negative, and we're not trying to be negative. Just kind of juxtapose our position. So let us know your thoughts, though. Text BOLTS to 31032. You can just comment below, obviously. We'll try to get those responses. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Ryan Dyrd, LAFB, or at LAFB Jams for Jamal. We'd love to hear your thoughts, Bolt fan. We always appreciate it. Thank you all for tuning in. This is the LA Football Show. We'll be back next week. Everyone take care.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.